Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Panelcast. This is episode 46. My name is AJ.
Happy New Year.
And that guy over there was Brian. We know it's been a month since you've heard from us. That's because we all took a little break to enjoy the holidays with our families, as much as one can enjoy holidays with families. But we hope you didn't miss us too much. And when we've come back now, we've got a lot of stuff we want to talk about. Ignition City, Fall of the Hulks. Brian's got some news for us, and I'm sure he's got some new blue water bitching that he has to do to bring in the new year, and I'm just anxious to listen to it. We've got a lot coming at you, so sit back, relax, and when we come back, we'll bring you some of our stuff.
Hi, this is Justin White with Necrosapien Press. Why don't you come down and check out the website at necrosapien.net. You can see all my latest artwork and projects, and we'll have a store up soon where you can buy prints of my art. Thanks.
And we're back, everybody. And I think what we're going to do is start everything off here by talking about a movie that we just saw, a movie that I'm sure pretty much everybody has seen by this point. And that film was A Wonderful Little Thing by James Cameron called Avatar.
Woohoo!
And, Adrian, what did you think about this movie?
I thought the movie was absolutely phenomenal. And I've been quoted as saying, well, first off, the story, when you walk in to see this movie and the story, you know what's going to happen. You've seen it before. You've seen everything before. It's all happened before.
Basically Pocahontas, really.
Well, it's Dances with Fern Gully meets Aliens. You know, I mean, they even cut some scenes directly from Fern Gully. and put it into the movie. But it's basically your basic...
That takes me back.
Yeah, no shit. It's your basic subjugation of a minority race movie. And that's what this is. But that's okay, because the storyline was easy enough that we could follow and go along with it and be all right. What really attracts you in this movie is the visuals. James Cameron just shattered some records creating his own style of filming this movie in 3D. And that's what I was impressed about this movie. And I loved it. Brian, do you?
Yeah, I agree. I knew that the plot line was not going to be... that it was an original storyline, but it was going to have a lot of cliches in it. I mean, that's pretty apparent from the trailers, even. But the thing is that I know that James Cameron knows how to make a film versus Michael Bay, whose movies are basically only cliches and special effects that you can't even really see. And... This movie was so beautiful. I had to go see it twice in the IMAX just to take in everything, because it's such a fantastic looking movie. You almost don't even care what the hell the dialogue is in this film, just because you're so wrapped in just looking at everything. And the animation was done so well, so smooth. The thing that really got me the most out of everything that they had in the movie was the lip sync for when the animated characters were talking. It was done so perfectly. So that's always been something that's annoyed me with computer animated characters, when they talk and their mouths just don't move right.
That's because most of the time the editing of the voice is because they're editing over some Japanese film, you know, whereas this was actually an English spoken film. But I agree with you. It was dead on. And I was looking for it.
Well, not even just with the traditional animation, but with computer animation even, like with some other American films that have been computer animated, the mouths still just don't move right. And in this one, they were dead on, even just little subtle, facial expressions and minute lip movements. It was done so well.
Right. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I loved it because of it. I mean, he obviously took time and care and painstakingly dedicated himself to making this movie, because it shows. And I'll never forget the quote, what you had said when we walked out of the movie. He's like, Brian said, Michael Bay needs to call up James Cameron and ask him how he did it, because he did it right. You know, and it's so true. It was such an awesome movie visually. I've even heard complaints from people who've seen it on regular 3D, digital 3D, that they couldn't tell it was 3D. So if you can't tell it's 3D and you haven't seen it on the IMAX yet, spend the $16, get your ass over to an IMAX theater and watch it. because that shit looks great.
Yeah, it was one of the few times that I was not upset for shelling out the money to go see it like that. It was definitely worth it.
Absolutely.
And it'll be one of the few movies, too, that I think will make me want to do the switch over to Blu-ray.
You know, and that's another thing that I was going to say. This movie, I'm actually going to have to go out and purchase it when it comes out on Blu-ray. You know, so that should tell you how good of a movie it was. I'm going out to spend money on a disc. I don't normally do that. So, that's how good the movie was. I mean, it's already breaking world records. It's breaking records.
It was good. And I don't want to sound... Oh, yeah. It's making fuckloads of money.
Hell yeah.
And that, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm sucking on James Cameron's dick or anything, but it was a good movie. I really enjoyed it. It, you know, the story is whatever. It's okay. It was at least like this. The story was cliche, but it was acted well enough that it didn't feel awkward, and it was just done right. I don't mind a movie that has cliches in it as long as it's done right, as long as it's enjoyable and it can take me out and put me into a consistent story where, you know, I'm able to suspend my disbelief and just enjoy this story. And I was able to do that with this movie.
I think he did that on purpose. I think that's why he gave us such a familiar story, because it allowed us to dive into it comfortably. You know what I mean? It was like an old warm blanket that we're putting on. So... that way we were able to get into the story without, you know, freaking out or wondering what's coming next or even analyzing it too much. We were able to see something that we were so familiar with that we were able to enjoy it for what it was, and that it was great.
Oh, yes. It was wonderful. Even going and seeing it a second time where I was trying to pay more attention to things, see if maybe there was something in the movie that would bother me. The science obviously is not great, but I wasn't expecting it to be. But there's actually a lot of stuff in terms of just the science of the movie that were still done really well. One of the things that I liked, one of the main things I think that I liked was the fact that this other planet that they were on, you know, it had an atmosphere that the humans couldn't breathe, and so that was actually part of the plot of the story, and it wasn't just, you know, people like traipsing around in some, you know, jungle somewhere with no protection on. They actually had to have suits in order to survive, which that was one of the things I liked, even though the human alien DNA combination thing was it's stretching it, but there wasn't enough terrible science in the movie to distract me. I'll put it that way.
Though, I do have to ask this question. Michelle Rodriguez, are you ever going to be in a movie where you're not driving a vehicle recklessly?
Did she do that in Resident Evil? So I don't remember her actually driving a vehicle in that movie.
Wasn't she driving the train for a bit?
No, I think the train was automatic.
Oh, well.
I think she had pretty much already died by that point.
Well, if they had a vehicle, I'm sure she would have driven it. I think it all just is trying to mock the fact that on the set of Lost, she got a DUI for driving in hot Hawaii and was no longer allowed to drive in Hawaii. So from then on, I think they try to put her in these movies where, you know, they tease the fact that she wants to drive, but she's not allowed to. That's just my opinion. But she did a great job.
Maybe. No, yeah. Everybody in that movie did their roles well. You know, not the most exemplary acting I've ever seen, but just everything in the movie came together nicely into something that I really enjoyed. And if you guys want to tell me that I'm wrong, go ahead and send in your hate mail. I look forward to it.
Brian likes hate mail. It just means that his inbox has something in it.
Yeah, something other than spam.
Other than spam.
All right, well, if there's nothing else, I think we'll go ahead and wrap this up and then take a little break.
Cool, we'll be right back.
Forbidden Panel is currently looking for artists. If you or someone you know would like to join us, please visit www.forbiddenpanel.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Panelcast. Alright, well, now you've heard our opinions about Avatar. And so, we're going to go ahead and discuss all the news that we may have missed over our month vacation or what have you, or that maybe you were just waiting for us to give our opinion about. So, without further ado, Brian, why don't you take it away and lead us into it.
Okay. Let's do a little bit more Avatar here. I've actually got a story that deals with Avatar, and this was something that I came across that just it completely boggled my mind. I don't understand this at all, and I usually cut a lot of slack for protesters, people protesting their movements and whatever. I try to at least see things from their side, but this one, I don't get it at all. Essentially, what this is people were trying to organize a protest against the movie Avatar. And it's not what you think it is. It's not like some religious group protesting because they're aliens or some other group protesting because, you know, it's got blue boobs in it or, you know, people protesting violence. No. This is a group of people protesting Avatar because there weren't any homosexual characters in it. So basically what they were trying to do, trying to organize groups of people to go out, purchase all of the tickets to buy out the showings, and then not attend, their arguments don't really make a whole lot of sense. One, going out and buying up all the tickets so that other people can't see it serves no purpose other than to not let people see the movie, because what they're still doing is giving their money to the makers of the film, which is what they seem to be protesting against. And then you've got these people, I mean, I don't understand. Okay, I mean, I could understand if the film was degrading homosexuals or if there was something about the movie that somehow made it seem like homosexuality was wrong or something, but sex wasn't an issue in the movie. And so what if the main characters are heterosexual? It was completely irrelevant to the point of the movie. But these protests, yeah, I didn't end up seeing any of the protests myself. I think the people, at least around where we live, have a little bit more sense than that. But it seems like most of these protests were set up in some of the bigger cities. And I don't know, maybe it was actually a hoax. Like, maybe these people didn't actually believe in this, and they were just trying to see if they could get people to go out and actually protest it or something. I don't know, but it didn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that either. And here's what's funny is that the movie doesn't even really touch base on the sexuality of the characters, except for, you know, Sam Worthington. It never talks about what the other characters' sexual orientations are. So it's not so much that they excluded homosexuality. They just never talked about anybody's sexuality, because nobody, obviously it wasn't a big deal and nobody cared.
Right, it wasn't the point of the movie. Let's see, what have we got next? Got a little bit of Apple news. The rumored Isolate, which I guess is what the official, unofficial name for it is, the Apple's supposed digital comics reader, which is, I guess they're expecting it to be announced on January 27th. I've seen a couple news stories about it, and they're expecting it to sort of be the next big thing, which, despite the fact that I'm not really a huge Apple fan and I don't particularly care for using Macintosh computers, I do have to admit that in certain technology arenas, Apple is actually pretty groundbreaking. I mean, really, Apple is the one that made MP3 players take off, and now there's a lot of different ones out there, and some that I think are probably better than the iPod, but the iPod really is what brought people to sort of accept digital media as a legitimate form of getting, you know, music and movies and now possibly comics. And everything that I've heard about it sounds like it probably would be a pretty decent thing to have. I'm sure it's probably going to end up being full of DRM, which I don't really like, but it's supposed to be a full-color screen. I'm guessing it's going to be about a 10-inch touchscreen, which would be nice, because some of the devices out there that have the touchscreen capability, I've tried the Sony one, the Sony Reader, or whatever the hell that thing's called, the touchscreen edition, and it's okay, but it's not really anything impressive. I'm sure in terms of just the technology side of it, Apple is probably going to do it really well. It's going to be in the actual implementation, I think, of their digital store that they're going to be lacking. But it'll be interesting to see how this type of technology is actually going to drive the comic book market and see if it's actually going to move comics into a purely digital format, which comics book creators seem to be kind of in line with that type of a movement anyways. So that's probably going to be something that I think will actually be beneficial for comics, because it's going to open it up to a wider audience of people. People can just download their comics from anywhere. They don't have to go into a comic book store, which I know some people have kind of a stigma against comic book stores. So this might actually allow people to sort of get into a field where they not necessarily comfortable with going into what they consider like a subculture type location to do it.
I think that's totally ridiculous, because, I mean, yes, admittedly, some comic book stores are very elitist and make it very difficult for other people to walk into. But, I mean, there's that diamond in the rough, like Four Color Fantasies, for example, where all they care about is customer service, and they make anybody walk in there and feel comfortable, not just the comic book readers themselves. Unfortunately, while I do agree with you that that Apple's probably going to revolutionize the whole series of digital comic books on the tablet, I feel bad for people like our friend Chris, who own a comic book store, and are now going to lose business, you know, because now he's not going to be able to make any revenue due to the fact that they can digitally download their comic books and read. So I feel bad in that aspect, but still, I think Apple's trying too hard to be Star Trek. You know, like they've watched Star Trek too much, and they want to have that little tablet with the inventory so everybody can sign away on it and stuff, and the whole cool-looking Stargate stuff that they have going on. But, you know, I know some of our friends will buy one, so I'll hold my opinions until it comes out and check it out then.
I think that's what I'm doing, because I personally, I'm one of those people that I don't like to buy digital, so I would rather have the physical thing in my hand. But I'm still interested to see how it's going to drive the market. And speaking of Star Trek, Trek Web is going to be displaying the first five preview pages for William Shatner's new Tech War comic. So if anybody out there gives a crap about William Shatner or Tech War, go ahead and head on to Trek Web and see what they've got. But personally, I don't really care. I think William Shatner is kind of a douche. Let's see, what else have we got? We got another interesting story here. David Finch is signing on with DC Comics, so that ought to be interesting. David Finch, of course, is a best-selling artist. Actually, like his artwork a lot. He's one of the few people out there that I'm kind of familiar with who he is. For some reason, I have a lot of trouble with remembering the names of writers and comic book artists and all of that stuff. But this is one of the few guys where he kind of draws his characters a little overly muscled, I think, sometimes to the point of making them caricatured. But he's still a really fantastic artist, and for some reason, this like something about his art just kind of sticks out with me. And in the political news spectrum, is there going to be a graphic novel coming out that deals with the whole issue going on in Gaza right now? And I guess this one is actually going to be dealing with a situation in Gaza that actually happened in 1956. I'm sorry, it's not the current Gaza issue. It's a situation that happened in the past. But really, it seems like it's been the same conflict since the 1950s over there. So it'll be kind of interesting. I don't know. Sometimes I read some of these sort of like politically, historically based comics, at least with like recent history, and it almost seems to kind of cheapen it, so this one might do that. I don't know, but I'd be kind of interested to read it and see where it goes, see if like what kind of parallels they're going to make, and I guess depend on what kind of commentary they're going to make as well. And anybody that's living in the Los Angeles area may be interested to know that January 10th, which is just in a couple days here, is going to be the Los Angeles Comic Book and Science Fiction Convention. So if anybody wants to get out to Los Angeles to see that, they're going to have a lot of directors and movie stars and they're supposed to be doing the big things that they're pushing are Legion and the Graves, which I've not heard of. But Legion, I've been seeing a shitload of advertisements for that, which I still don't know what the hell that movie's supposed to be about. I'm guessing some sort of like religious apocalypse kind of thing, but I don't know. I know there's like demons and angels in it, but that's really about all I know. And I do also want to point out that at the Los Angeles Comic Book and Science Fiction Convention, our artist, Justin White, is going to be attending, so that'd be another reason to head out there and see what's going on, maybe get a little bit of an update on what's happening with Forbidden Panel. And of course, my new segment would not be complete without me at least giving some sort of a mention to Blue Water. They've got a couple of things going on right now that I'm going to talk about. The first one is a story about, well, they're doing a Ronald Reagan-based comic, which I guess at this point it really shouldn't surprise me at all. But they're doing Ronald Reagan, and they've also have an upcoming Rush Limbaugh comic. So that's, you know, those are going to be some quality comics right there, let me tell you. And, of course, you know, Blue Water, having no shame whatsoever, so recently released a Lady Gaga comic, which I don't know exactly what this woman does. I know she's a singer, like a pop star or whatever, I know that. But I don't know anything about her music or anything, but I'm guessing she's just some sort of like generic sort of like electronic pop, whatever. And so they've got another one of those coming out. And this, again, I have to say that I don't understand the thought process that goes behind people wanting to buy these comics. Like I understand why Blue Water is doing them, because all they care about is cha-ching. But they're making these comics about people that I don't even understand why they're famous. Well, okay, some of them I can understand why they're famous, but I don't understand why do they warrant a comic book? What is it about these people that's a comic? I really would love somebody to just explain Blue Water Comics to me and explain how this works. Because I don't understand it at all. I don't even know anybody that would actually buy any of these comics. So if somebody out there wants to send me a little diatribe on why I'm an idiot for talking shit on Blue Water, hey, go ahead and do it. I'd love to discuss this more on the show, as you all know. All right, well, I'm gonna stop ranting before I get too angry. And AJ, do you have any other news items that are coming up?
Yeah, actually, let me make a couple quick announcements on our news side. First up, Thor and Pirates of the Caribbean Part 4 are getting new release dates. What happened is that Spider-Man 4 has been put on hold and has left the May 5th, 2011 slot open. So now Marvel's trying to put Thor into that slot as well as Pirates of the Caribbean. So which should make for an awesome weekend. Why they're making a Part 4 of Pirates, I have no clue, but somebody out there will watch it. As I stated also, Spider-Man 4 is getting delayed. They are pushing it back for a while because they don't know if they're going to be able to... they're still trying to finalize the script and who's the villains and all that stuff. And they're having a lot of problems getting everything set up. They were thinking about making a romantic subplot with the Black Cat as well as having the Vulture be the nemesis. But there's just no fire behind those engines right now. So that's been put on hold for right now. The other bit of news I wanted to talk about, again with Avatar. Apparently, during the movie, there is a sex scene film between Sam Worthington and Zoe Saldana's character. Of course, it was edited out of the film, and we weren't able to see it. Though blue sex would have been funny in 3D. But apparently, James Cameron is going to go ahead and put it into the director's cut of the DVD cut of the film. So when we get it on Blu-ray, we'll be able to watch the alien sex scene at home in our little privacy and be able to enjoy it by ourselves. There you go. Which I kind of would have liked to seen it in the movie. I hate when movies get chopped up and then you find more to a movie that, you know, in a director's cut that actually would have made the movie more tolerable or better. haven't been left out. But at the same time, the movie was 3 hours of 3D eye-popping, jaw-dropping visuals that I think I'm kind of grateful that they didn't add another 10 minutes into it at this point. The other bit of news I wanted to talk about, the Zombieland writer, Rhett Reiss and Paul Rerich, who, again, wrote Zombieland, one of the best zombie movies that have come out in a while, have been hired to write the Deadpool script. Deadpool being a spinoff of the X-Men movie franchise that has come out, more specifically X-Men Origins Wolverine, and will be portrayed by Ryan Reynolds. So hopefully with them writing it, we might actually see a little bit of Wade Wilson's sense of humor into the character, and with Ryan Reynolds playing it and his sarcastic attitude, we may actually be able to see Deadpool come to life in true form. So who knows, I'm still crossing my fingers on this one, but we will see. Another bit of news I wanted to talk about was Disney finalized the stockholder merger this past week, and announced that, you know, everybody, all the stockholders are receiving about $30 million apiece. Bastards. But in doing so, they wanted to talk about possibly seeing superhero dollars in a lot of Marvel's unknown characters, and they're going to start doing animated TV shows based on those little-known characters like Black Cat or Ant-Man or Iron Fist and so on. So they're going to start producing films. I believe they're animated shorts, or they may just be television shows based on those characters, just to see if maybe there's a diamond in there that people are really going to get behind and watch. You know, some kind of obscure character that may not be super mainstream, but maybe will blow up once they watch the show about him. Kind of like Deadpool. Not a lot of people knew about Deadpool before the Wolverine movie, which is why I liked him as a character. But the minute he was portrayed on the screen, he kind of exploded all over the place, and now they're making his own movie. So they're kind of fishing for the same thing with all these little lesser-known characters and making films based on them. So we'll see what happens with that. And I think that's about all the news-related stuff that I had for this segment. Why don't we go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we'll get a little bit personal and talk about Forbidden Town.
Hi, I'm a chick, and I read comic books and play video games, and yes, I am attractive. And whenever I need new information, I head over to Forbidden Panel and look for new geeks to seduce. And I'm sorry.
And we're back. And we're going to start talking a little bit about the comics that we've read recently. AJ, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
All right, Brian. Well, the first comic book I had a chance to read was Ignition City by Warren Ellis. Now, many of you who are fans of Warren Ellis know and are familiar with his style of writing. And let me just tell you, Ignition City was amazing. It's basically kind of set in the future. Not really future, more of an alternate timeline of things that events that had happened. And it's a story about this girl who goes to the city where her father was killed to find out who killed her father and why. Along the way, you meet a couple interesting characters and get to know a lot about how history has changed due to certain events. And, you know, I really dug it. It's very steampunk. So if you're into steampunk, if you're a fan of Freak Angels, his other work, then you'll really enjoy Ignition City. It's a five-issue series. It's out in trade right now, so if you get a chance, just pick it up. You won't regret it. It's really awesome, and it's very Warren Ellis. So if you're familiar with his writing and the way he weaves a story, then you'll appreciate Ignition City. And another comic book that I just finished reading came as a complete surprise to me about how much I enjoyed it and how different it was from how this writer and creator normally writes. And that is Battlefields by Garth Ennis. He basically took three different stories and made them into three-issue series. The first one was called The Night Witches, the second being Dear Billy, and the third one called Tankies. And it's basically these little stories that happened during World War II, focusing on these different characters and how they dealt with the war. Now, again, those of you who know Garth Ennis, he's very famous for The Preacher, The Boys, Herogasm, a bunch of other stories that we've often talked about, Chronicles of Wormwood, so on and so forth. And we've discussed how graphic and disgusting his writing and art can be. Well, that is not the case in these books. These books are really just amazing how he wrote them and how down to earth that they are. I mean, Dear Billy almost had me in tears toward the end of it. It's just a really amazing series, and if you haven't picked it up, please do so. It's just awesome. Again, it's called Battlefields. It's put out by Dynamite Entertainment. It's by Garth Ennis, and it's totally worth it just to see how different he can be and how different he can write on these stories. The last book I wanted to talk about that I had read, I can't even remember what I was going to talk about. So, having said that, oh yeah, Fall of the Hulks. That's where I was going to go. Excuse me, people. I was in a car accident. I messed up on meds, so I'm a little out of there. Fall of the Hulks has started in Marvel comic books. So far, I am not digging on it. It just seems very cliche, something that we've already seen before. Another series that is doing the same thing is the X-Men series. Right now, their cross-title promotion is called Necrotia, where this being is bringing back dead mutants to life to fight the X-Men. Sounds very familiar to the Blackest Night series, which is going on in DC Comics right now, and it is. It's a straight ripoff, and I'm very disappointed in how they're doing it. So I'm not into it at all, and if I were you, I wouldn't even bother picking up these books because they're just disappointing. Wait up for Siege, which has started. Siege looks like it's going to be an awesome series on the Marvel line, so maybe read that instead. Lastly, I received an email a couple days ago from a couple of guys that Chris and Shane over at ReedGunther.com. They asked me to take a look at their book and review it for them. Well, guys, I haven't had a chance to read through the issues yet, and I apologize for that. But I did take a look at a few pages of issue one, and I have to tell you that I'm really digging on what you guys are trying to do. It's kind of like it's a cowboy western series with a trusting bear, Sterling, that they ride through the adventures, on their adventures. I mean, it's pretty quirky. The art is very simple, but very good. I mean, you can see that the guy really has skill in what he's doing. So if you like maybe the old school 50s weeklies that used to come out in the newspaper, or a fan of Popeye-style animation or drawing style, then you should go check it out. It's ReedGunther.com. That's where their book is hailing from. When I get a chance, I'll read it, and I'll write a full review on it on AJ's side panel, so keep an eye out for that. Other than that, I really had nothing more on the comic book side. Brian, what have you read?
I've actually been kind of lax in my comic reading. The holidays kind of took over for me, and I wasn't really aware of the passage of time. But there was one comic that I did read, and this I came across. It was not my normal style of comics. I actually got it through the Reddit Secret Santa, which is the big online Secret Santa thing that was done. I think it even got picked up in a few news stories. But I got this comics. I got a comic from. It was the lady that sent it to me said it was from a local comic book artist, and it looks like it's self-published. It's called Bop Comics. And it's basically sort of like a series of loosely connected stories and then some other just random interesting stuff. Almost kind of in the vein of Johnny the Homicidal Maniac and those types of people, where it's just like a bunch of shorts, but a lot less graphic than those particular group of artists. This one deals primarily with a superhero called Flying Man and his sidekick, who also is his arch nemesis. And then there's another story in here called Captain Zombie. And it's entertaining. The art is pretty simplistic, and the stories, they're written pretty well. They're interesting. Nothing too graphic, nothing too serious. They're sort of lighthearted kind of comics, more of like an all-ages type of thing, so there's no profanity or overt sexuality or anything in them. It's probably not a comic series that I would continue to purchase, but I probably, if I was given more of them, I would read them. I found it entertaining. The writing was humor is not really laugh-out-loud funny, but I think there's at least the guy's got some potential. It's his first comic, so he definitely has the potential to kind of move this up. The characters are interesting, and they're pretty original characters, so I think as long as if he keeps working at it, he'd probably turn out something pretty good and something that a wide audience could enjoy. And I think that's pretty much going to do it for me in terms of the comics that I've read. Unfortunately, like I said, I haven't read a lot, but I plan on really buckling down this year, 2010, and going to start reading shitload more comics. So I'll have a lot more to say on that point. But we'll go ahead and take a quick break here, and then we'll be right back.
Hey, this is John from the Hightower Comics. This is telling everybody to go check us out at www.hightowercomics.com, where you will get the height of independent comics.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Panelcast. Well, this is going to be our last segment. We think we've burned your ears long enough and made you really bored and annoyed. But before we go, I wanted to tell you a little bit about what's going on our side. First up, ZKS, the Zombie Kill Squad. I know we've been talking about it for months on all of our panel casts and just how excited we are about it. Well, all the art and everything is done. Everything is now being sent over to Brian over there, who's doing all the lettering. Once that's done, it should be out in time for the Rose Bowl Comics and Collectors Show in February. Now, if you didn't come to the last Rose Bowl show, shame on you. But make sure you come out to this one, because we're going to have a big booth set up. We'll finally have the ZKS comic book to hand out. We'll have some promotional stuff, some flyers, some postcards, stuff like that for you to take a look at. And again, it'll be our first actual official time being at a convention at our own table. So we'd appreciate any support that you may have. If you get a chance, check out the website, rosebowlcomicshow.com. It'll have all the information you need and maybe even some pictures from the last show. Something else I wanted to touch on real quick, our friends over at Hightower Comics. Many of you know, they've heard John talk on the show before. We've done interviews with them and do a lot of promotion for them, as they do the same for us. They've recently gone digital. They now have all their issues available on Drive-Thru Comics. So if you have a chance, go to HightowerComics.com, click on the link, and follow it through, and pick up a couple of their downloadable issues. They are finally joining the digital age, and we're very proud to see them do so. They also have what has to be one of the most inventive trailers for a comic book I've ever seen. We posted it up on the site. If you haven't looked at it, check it out. Otherwise, head over to Hightower Comics and see it yourself. It's kind of a live-action version of their comic book, Smart Bullets, which is totally done digitally. It's really awesome. They've been picked up by Hollywood Management for Circle of Confusion. And, you know, things are just looking great for them. We really, really wish them well. So, yeah, go check that out. Well, I'll also let you guys know, if you haven't noticed, on the sidebar of ForbiddenPanel.com is our new Amazon A store. It's basically all the comic books that we've been talking about here and recommended to you, available to purchase immediately right there on the side of the website. So after listening to the panel cast or even during, go check out some comic books, some trade paperbacks from Amazon, and pick them up. And yes, we do get a little love for it, but all that money will go to printing up our comic books, and so you'll end up seeing the fruition of those little things coming from us. On the next episode of Panelcast, we're going to have a special guest, a little interview that I'm very happy to do, and I'm not going to give away the secret of it yet, but you'll want to tune in because it's very exciting. Brian, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Oh, I do, yes. After a long wait, I did finally record another Geek Girls episode. So the Geek Girls is still going, and I'm still doing it, still looking for people to do interviews with. So I was really excited about this. This girl. We actually, it was probably the longest Geek Girls that's been done yet. We went for a little bit longer than most of the other ones are. So if I'm sorry if it seems unbearable to you, but I thought it was entertaining. So please head on over there, listen to Geek Girls episode 7. I've got another one lined up, so I should be recording that next week. I want to get the Geek Girls thing going, so if you guys know anybody out there that wants to do a Geek Girls interview, or if you are a lady yourself that would like to do a Geek Girls interview, please email me, brian@forbiddenpanel.com, and we'll set something up. I want to keep this thing going, and I think it's a really good compliment to the Forbidden Panel and everything that we do here. I think as a Forbidden Panel, we kind of really try to stress the fact that we're for everybody, so I want to have the Geek Girls there to kind of, you know, be a little more inclusive.
Awesome, Brian. Yeah, if you guys get a chance, check out the Geek Girls episode. It should be up right now while you're listening, so if you haven't heard it yet, go check it out. I want to remind everybody about the Los Angeles Comic Book Convention held at the Shrine Auditorium. Justin White will be there, and he'll have some samples of his work as well as some posters and flyers for ZKS that you can go pick up there. Again, Rose Bowl Comic Show is coming up in February. Please go check that out. Continue visiting the website, guys. We really appreciate the traffic that you're bringing into us and the enthusiasm that we're feeling. And thanks for all of our loyal fans for holding in there. Sorry for the month that we took off, but we had to celebrate the holidays too, you know? Anyway, just a reminder, go check out HightowerComics.com, BrandyAusset.com, Necrosapien.net, ReedGunther.com, and anybody else I'm forgetting, please apologize. If you have any comics that you'd like us to read, please send it over. GirlsDrawingGirls.com also. Check out their stuff. CamilleDeErico.com. She has a lot of stuff up there as well. So for Brian, this is AJ. We will see you on episode 47 next week. Bye, guys.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.